We'll start our journey to Jerusalem with Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 through 17. Now John, this is John the Baptist, by the way. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here today. Lent has begun. Lent has started. We had a great Ash Wednesday service here this past week, and we have now started our journey toward Jerusalem. Now, all the four Gospels that we have in our Bible, they all start in different places. Mark starts with Jesus' baptism. Matthew and Luke have Jesus as a baby, and John has Jesus existing before time even began. But all the Gospels really get going after the baptism. So we thought that the baptism is a great place to start for this journey toward Jerusalem. We've heard this baptism story many, many times. But I'm going to ask a question to you. Why was God pleased? What about this pleased God? I mean, it seems like an odd question because baptism is such a happy experience. Why wouldn't any parent be pleased when their child is being baptized? Why wouldn't God be pleased? But I'm asking specifically, what about this made God open up the heavens? And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and stating for all to hear that God is pleased. To answer that question, I think we need to look back a little bit at John the Baptist. There is significant evidence, scholarly significant evidence, that Jesus, at least for a little bit, studied under John the Baptist. That Jesus learned about what John was all about and followed him and learned a little bit about what John had to do before Jesus took his own ministry into full force. And why wouldn't Jesus take advantage of that before Jesus started his own ministry? John the Baptist was a prophet. He spoke the word of God. He stood for justice and was not afraid to challenge authority at all. But listen to his rhetoric. Listen to his word choices that he used. "You brood of vipers. The axe is lying at the root of the trees." It's very divisive. When you hear John's language, it's very divisive. Who's in and who's out? There is no middle ground for John the Baptist. It's good stuff. It's powerful stuff. The motivation seems to be very pure. But once again, it's very divisive language that we hear from John the Baptist. Jesus could have done that. having learned under John a little bit, Jesus could have come out in full force and did exactly what John did. But Jesus took a little different approach. He talked about loving enemies, turning the other cheek, having dialogue with people, teaching in parables instead of just yelling at people. He loved, he included. He had dinner parties with people that he very much disagreed with in order to dialogue with them and have conversation. And once he learned all he could from John the Baptist, it was Jesus' time to come into his own. It was time to start that journey that eventually ends in Jerusalem. And instead of yelling and being on the attack, Jesus was going to propose a different way. And that is why God was so pleased. Our country is so divided right now. I thought that after the election, I thought that it would eventually taper off. I thought that the nasty rhetoric that we hear from all sorts of people would eventually taper off like it does every other election. We get back to normalcy, but that hasn't happened yet. And I have very progressive friends. I have very conservative friends. And it seems all that they're doing right now is yelling louder than the other side is. As if that would make their point more clear if you get louder and louder. I don't know if anybody watched the Oscars last week, but Jimmy Kimmel was the host, right? And Jimmy Kimmel, in his opening monologue, this is a talk show host that thrives on divisiveness. This is a talk show host that wants controversy, but even Jimmy Kimmel was tired of it, I think. He said if everyone watching right now would just reach out to someone whom they disagree with, and have a conversation, things would be better. You know what happens when we engage each other in that way? We find commonalities. With someone that we vehemently disagree with, we can find commonalities with each other. But oftentimes, we don't want to have conversations. We want someone to listen to our point of view, but we are not willing to sit down and have a conversation with someone that we might disagree with. We want someone to listen to our monologue instead of having some sort of dialogue with other people. I had a class at seminary that we were tasked with having a couple interfaith dialogues. This is people outside of the Christian community that we might have a dialogue with just to learn and experience what they thought of their faith. So I contacted the Interfaith Alliance at the University of Arkansas, and we met up with one person that was not part of the Christian faith, and we started our dialogue, but it ended up not being a dialogue at all. This person constantly, throughout the entire conversation, told me how Christians have it wrong. And he spent all this energy trying to prove to me why Christians have the scriptures incorrect. And what really probably happened during that time. And how Christianity misses the mark so often. And I kept trying to interrupt him saying, okay, that's fine. And that's your position. But what do you believe about your faith? And he still wouldn't have it. He kept saying how we were wrong over and over again. It was a very unpleasant conversation. It was disappointing. So then I have my second interfaith dialogue with someone else. This guy was a Sikh, you know, from India. And so the Sikhism is a wonderful faith. And so I started the conversation with him, and he had several of his family members around. And so we got to have this wonderful conversation. And they told me all about what they believe. And they told me about their religious practices and why they do what they do. And I was asking all sorts of questions. And it was such a fruitful conversation because he was telling me about their position. And it was great for my paper. So I stood up and I'm like, this is great. This is wonderful. This is all that I need. Thank you so much. And I went to shake their hand and they just sat there, looked at me and they go, where are you going? And I go, well, I'm done. I don't need anything else from you. And they go, we need something from you. I thought this was going to be a dialogue. We didn't hear anything about the Christian faith. And I go, oh, sorry. So I sit down and I shared with them and they had all sorts of questions about what makes Jesus so special? And I don't understand this whole Christmas thing. And tell me about Easter. And it was really good. It was such a good conversation to have with them. And it helped me appreciate where they were coming from. Now, I didn't convert them to Christianity. They certainly didn't convert me to Sikhism. But just having a conversation with someone helps us understand their point of view and where they are coming from. What would happen if we dared to reach across the aisle and dialogue with someone that we disagree with? We might find some commonalities. We might find some commonalities and start building relationships. I'm telling you right now, the very biggest Trump supporter and the greatest Hillary champion have commonalities. A devout Christian and a devout Muslim have commonalities. An ardent Catholic and a passionate evangelical have commonalities. An OU fan and an OSU fan have commonalities. You want to know what they are? Everybody wants to be a Razorback. They don't say that, but I can sense it. Some of the parables of Jesus, what makes some of the parables so powerful is that Jesus took the listener, took the hearer of his parables, and placed them on the other side of the fence, whatever their fence happened to be. He got them to see the world from their enemy's point of view. The Good Samaritan's a wonderful example of that. He took people, hearing them, wanting to be validated, and he changed it around and made them see from a different perspective. That's why those parables are so powerful. When you find commonalities, it is so much easier to build relationships. We aren't built to have one mind. We aren't built as children of God to have one mind and all sing off the same page. But we are called as Christians to build bridges instead of setting them on fire. There is a Christian Religious Association. It's a national one. I think it's an international one, actually. And they keep wanting me to join their association, their organization. They have a group of people that come by the church. This started a few years ago. They have somebody come by every 3 or 4 months and give me their spiel about why I should join their association. And I'm never, ever going to join this group. It will never happen in the 1,000 years. It will never happen. We have too many fundamental disagreements on what it means to be Christian. So the first time they came in, I certainly didn't want them in our building because I had other things to do. And they come in, and I knew this organization, and so I knew what they were going to try to do. And so they came in my office unannounced. They came in, and they sat there, and they gave me their little spiel, and it was annoying. Right, and I just sat there and just kind of listened to them. And they give me their pitch. But at the end, they said, we'd like to pray for you. Brother Bill, they call me. Brother Bill, we'd like to pray for you. And I go, that's fine. Whatever gets you out of my office. So that's fine. You know, let's pray. And he goes, what can we pray for? And I go, whatever you want. The church, fine. Just pray for whatever. So there were 3 of them. And they each of them prayed for about 2 minutes each. It's a long time to pray, by the way. 2 minutes each praying for me and praying for our church. And at the end, it was a little uplifting. I was like, all right, well, that felt better than I thought it was going to. But that was fine, so they took off. The second time they came by, I was already a little frustrated with what was going on in my world before they came in. And when they came in, they just added to my frustration. What was my frustration? I had just climbed the ladder 17,000 times to change the sign up of the, you know, because we had that old sign. And I think that I misspelled a word, and I'm like, ah. And I get up there, and we're changing it back. And I was very frustrated with our sign situation. So they came in, and I'm like, great, here we go again. And they gave me their little spiel, and again, a little annoying. And they said, anything that we could pray for you, Pastor Bill. And I go, you can pray for a new sign. That's what you can do. You can pray for a new sign because I'm getting a little frustrated with our sign right now. No problem. And so for Brother Bill's sign, they each prayed 2 minutes, each one. And when they got done, I was like, great, thanks. So then they left. And no kidding, 2 weeks after that, Anita comes in my office and says, it's been laid on my heart to give Forest Park a brand new sign. And I don't even think about the conversation I had with this other group. I'm like, awesome, it's wonderful, it's great. So I'm not even connecting the two. They come in a third time, which is again several months later. They come in the third time, and I'd forgotten all about it. We had asked them to pray for it. So when they came in, I couldn't wait to tell them that their prayers were answered. that they came in and they started with their spiel. And I go, before you do that, I got to tell you something awesome. What you guys prayed for, it came to pass. It was awesome. So I really appreciate the prayers. And they couldn't be more excited. But of course, they launched into their spiel. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll listen to the spiel. But at the end, they prayed. And I was looking forward to the end of that meeting because I wanted that prayer. So the fourth time they came was last week. And last week, if anybody paid attention to my schedule at all, I was so busy last week. I had Ash Wednesday to plan for. I had yet another funeral that I had to get my head around. I had to plan for this service. I had to plan for the journey to Jerusalem, what we were going to be doing. I had pastoral care concerns. I had administrative tasks. I was snowed over last week. And they walked in my door, again, unannounced. And you would think that I would look at him and go, my gosh, one more thing to do this week. But when they walked in the door, I could not have been more pleased because I really wanted that prayer. And of course, I listened to their pitch and I just kind of nodded with them. And when they asked for my prayer request, I told them all the things that I needed prayer for. And when they left, I felt refreshed. I felt in a better mood to tackle all of the things that I was doing this past week. Now, I will never join their organization, but I love that they come by and pray for me. It's awesome. They were the ones building bridges. They were the ones making connections, and it feels really good when someone does that for you. I could have listed all the things that I think their organization does wrong, which I think are plenty. I could have listed all the things that I disagree with. And I've done that in the past when I've encountered people of that mindset. I've tried to argue with them and I've tried to figure out, you know, why they are the way they are and tell them that, of course, my brand of Christianity is the only brand of Christianity. But that doesn't go anywhere, really. I will tell you this. The next time they come in, I will be thrilled to see them. I am looking forward to the next time they come. It's so much better than to try to point out their faults than getting prayer. You are never, ever going to change someone's mind or point of view by yelling louder than they are. I appreciate the theology of John the Baptist. I really do. I agree with many of the things he presented. I agree with him standing up for justice. I agree with everything that he said. But his methods leave a little bit to be desired as far as reconciliation goes. But with Jesus's baptism, there is a new way of doing things. And it pleased God so much that Jesus is now on the scene, that the heavens opened up and God told everyone around that this is my son and I am so pleased with him. And so it is with us. When you forge relationships, instead of insisting on your own way, then the Spirit of God descends on you. And God, with a huge smile, will state, "This is my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Praise be to that God. Amen.